is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing at the National Post about a surprising fact. The Prime Minister of Canada, our great neighbor to the north, Justin Trudeau, has called for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I am surprised. I did not know this happened. What do we make of this? What did Parliament make of it? What do the Canadian people make of it? Ceasefire is surrender. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, I think Justin thought he was just getting in line with what the U.S. administration and some of the Europeans were saying. Rather than put himself in the shoes of the Israelis, who were terribly provoked by the atrocities of October 7, he tends, as diplomats do, to just put this as yet another unfortunate incident in the long row of violent episodes between Israel and its Arab neighbors, and just hope that there would be a ceasefire. As there has been in all these previous things. And he doesn't recognize, and because he's not a specialist in this area, and I wouldn't repose too much confidence in how knowledgeable our own foreign service people are about it, but he doesn't see the Jewish perspective. This was the worst and most horrible day in the history of the Jewish people since the end of the Holocaust, nearly 80 years ago. And they lost more lives in one day than they have since the liberation of the last of the death camps. And to them, it is an assault, as it is intended to be by Hamas and the other extremists in the Palestinian movement, a direct threat to the life and existence of Israel as a Jewish state. And so it isn't just a skirmishing on the border of a routine kind. It was an assault on the life and right to exist of Israel, and an act of war, and was deemed to be an act of war, and a national unity government was immediately formed to conduct a war. And you don't have ceasefires in real wars. One party defeats the other, or you get a serious truce. But most non-Jews, and frankly, some Jews as well, but most non-Jews don't see it that way because they don't put themselves in the place of the wronged party here, which was Israel invaded on October 7, and it was an invasion. For some reason, I think your own administration is not blameless in this. The proper message has not always been delivered about the nature of the attack on October 7. Everybody in Canada, including the Prime Minister, recognized, and he severely condemned what happened. There was no question about that. But they don't see it as the gravity of threat that it is. Of course, it was a terrible atrocity. And what you're getting now from that sort of person is, well, they've killed 20,000 Palestinians after losing 1,200 themselves. Isn't that enough? In the first place, I don't believe the 20,000 that comes from Hamas's so-called health ministry. But in the second place, that isn't the issue. Once there's a war, the issue isn't how many of the other side have you killed. The issue is how close is one side or the other getting to achieving its war aim so the war can end. By that measurement, I think Israel's doing extremely well, and I think the war will end. But it will end in the next 2 months, as a result of Hamas being practically destroyed as a military force. They're perfectly welcome to carry on as a political force, but not as a gang of terrorists apt to attack Israel and murder civilians as they did in October 7.
After reading your excellent column, I needed to go to FDR to get bolstered up. So I went to the Arsenal of Democracy speech, you know it very well, December 29th, 1940. And this line, "The experience of the past 2 years," said the president, "has proven beyond doubt that no nation can appease the Nazis. No man can tame a tiger into a kitten by stroking it. There can be no appeasement with ruthlessness. There can be no reasoning with an incendiary bomb. We know now that a nation can have peace with the Nazis only at the price of total surrender. That was to an American public that was extremely, extremely threatened, but at the same time, it's not our fight. He bolstered them up. And the prime minister in Ottawa would do well to just listen to that speech. It's online. He could reverse himself. Will he, Conrad? Will he learn?
I couldn't agree more. It was a brilliant speech. And as I recall, the public places of the entire country, restaurants and so on, emptied out as people went home or to their cars to listen to him. And I believe the polling showed that nearly 80% of Americans agreed with him. I mean, in that speech is the line, no dictator, no combination of dictators. And I won't quote exactly, but the balance of the sentence was deter or distract the American people and government from doing what their national interest and moral duty require. And then he said, we must be the great arsenal of democracy. Right. And that's leadership. It was a month after that he gave his State of the Union message and said, we must always be wary of those who, with sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, would preach the ism of appeasement and applying the Bible to the evils of appeasement. And the United States has never been an appeasement power since then. And that was a decisive moment. Roosevelt kept Britain and Canada in the war.
I'm going to say that 80% of the American people believe in victory, and victory is what Israel will deliver. And
that's
It is a puzzle to me that Justin Trudeau, with all of the troubles he has, goes out of his way to get involved in a fight that he clearly doesn't understand.
Look, he's not a bad man at all. He's a good man, and he's not an anti-Semite in the slightest. He doesn't have a racist bone in his body. But he doesn't know that much about the Middle East. He's not, I think he thinks he's just being a loyal camp follower of a widespread opinion in the West that, this is terrible. This violence is very unfortunate and let's stop it. It's a simplistic view, but by all means, let's stop it, but let's stop it at a time when we can be confident it won't start again.
The Canadian people, where are they? Where's Parliament on this? Have they expressed an opinion, or is it each politician is taking a different point of view? Can you generalize, Conrad?
Well, the official opposition, the Conservatives led by Pierre Poilievre, are more pro-Israel, and they generally reflect the view of the last Conservative Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, who gave, in my opinion, one of the best speeches ever given by a Canadian Prime Minister in the Knesset of Israel, which ended with the words, "Through fire and water, we will be with you." And I think that's where most Canadians are on this. Most of them probably think the Palestinians should have their own state. And I think, frankly, most Israelis probably think that, too. And Palestine could have had a state any time in the last 25 years if they'd been prepared to accept the right of the State of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. But where the people are, I believe, is that Israel was viciously, brutally attacked, and they have a right to take severe measures to ensure this doesn't happen again.
Conrad Black, I'm John Mayer.